down to brass tacks. Hello.
Good morning to you.
Yes, good morning.
Yeah, I'm concerned. The thing about it is, if, say, for example, in some house next stairs, they have about 10 persons living in one unit. And some people might work day, some people might work night, some people might be on the outside looking out, some will be on the inside. When it comes to nighttime now, and everybody have to clutter in that house, you know.
Where would they normally be in at nighttime? They would be sleeping away from their house? Is that what you're implying?
No. They will be sleeping on the inside now. Because don't forget, some people will be working night, some people will be working there, some people will be on the outside sitting down because they're not working, etc. Now it's time for them to sleep. Now everybody's in the same house, right? Now that they're isolated, everybody's in the house, right? Because, you know, these houses don't be too big, and they got grandmother, mother, grandchildren in it and stuff, because they know of a particular family.
So what's your alternative?
Well, the thing about it is, I don't have no alternative for that, because their situation is that they can't do no better, right? I don't know what will happen to them, you know? So I don't got no alternative for that, right? But I just only trying to tell you that that is what is currently happening now, because they know of a particular family that there's about 10 in number, right? I don't want to call the name of the household.
Please
anyhow, the thing about it is, this is my solution for people who want to get medication from the pharmacist. I believe that if they go to the polyclinic or the hospital or whatever, there should either be a box provided for those persons that they can drop off their prescription, and the pharmacist could tell them when to come back to pick it up, right? Or for those who have email, they can scan in the information and get the pricing, whatever, if they want it delivered, have it delivered, or, you know, set a time for when to come back is to avoid overcrowding. That's one of the methods I would use for collection of medication, etc.
Okay.
Right? The next thing is, I'm concerned in relation to if this thing gets out of proportion, where are we going to get the finances from? Who's going to give us aid? Because everybody's in the same situation. The world have the same very problem, right? And we got to try to solve out this thing on our own. And it's not a very easy task.
Well, I don't know that we are being asked to resolve the issue on our own. Let me just say to you that if you operate from that premise, then it is not the best place to begin, because we should be looking to solve the problem in conjunction with other people in the world. The part of what I believe is our biggest mistake is when we try to retreat into the belief that we can deal with it all on our own. We didn't start this. So why should we be seeking to fix it all on our own? It's a collaborative effort. It really has demonstrated that the world is a global village.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that we need to fight battles of this nature in that way.
Yeah.
You know, the region... You were saying.
And in relation to... Suppose some person has this virus and they overcome it and then they repeat it. Would it get better or would it get worse?
We don't know. We're waiting to see what is happening in those cases where people have actually repeated the virus.
And then in relation to something that you said just now about the firefighters, whatever, right? If this thing happened to be in the atmosphere, how would we be able to get over it?
Well, you know, there are some people who hold the view that many, many people in the world are going to contract this particular virus. Some people say we are all going to get it. Some will get it in a mild way, and some will get it in a serious way, and some will die, as you see right now. Some people are dying. I have two friends in the United States. They were recently here in Barbados, went back to the United States, and they've caught it there. They tell me that they have the mild symptoms, but back pain and other pains are dogging them. So, you know, they may be among the lucky ones. But other people are sending me photographs of, you know, the makeshift morgues and that sort of thing. I saw one this morning with a body being taken out of a hospital and being put into one of the makeshift morgues, and somebody with a camera there saying, "This is happening now, this is happening now," and very emotional about it. I think this was sent to me by a nurse who works in the United States. So, you know, it's, and you get different opinions about how you're supposed to respond to it. Some people are scared. Some people are trying to minimize it. You say, "Well, you know, we're trying to blow this, people are trying to blow this thing out of proportion." Then others are saying we need to be cautious. So it is producing all types of reactions.
But you should not get scared. You should not get...
Why not?
Listen. You should not get scared. You should not panic. You should not let stress come on you, because it's going to affect your body.
Well, listen, let me ask you, how do you avoid... What induces panic and stress? Is it a human reaction?
People panic because of the unknown.
All right. And fear causes panic.
Yeah.
And therefore, the only way you can address that is by reducing fear. Now, governments and health officials around the world are trying to do that by providing as much information as possible and by telling you what are the safeguards that you need to follow. That, to a large extent, has reduced panic and fear among some. There are others in circumstances where they don't have enough elbow room. They don't have water. We have water, generally speaking. Those areas that lack water in Barbados can still get some, even if you have to send tankers to them, or even if in really difficult circumstances, they have to ask somebody to bring some water for them. But there are people elsewhere in the world where it's far worse than that. There are people who are huddled together. Think of people in the refugee camps around the world. And they are vulnerable. And they can't move. They can't exercise social distancing. You know, in all of this, we have something to be thankful for. And, you know, we need to concentrate a lot on those positives while trying to encourage people to take this matter more seriously, so that we will not end up creating the situation that exists in a place like New York, Italy, and Spain, where the health facilities are overwhelmed. That's what we have to work on. All right?
Yeah.
Thank you very much for calling.
Yes. Yes, sorry about that. I meant to turn off the radio.
Hi.
Yeah, back in time. Sorry about that. The professor is still there?
No.
Oh, Lord. I really wanted to speak to him, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But I was going to say what I have to say. I no disrespect. I respect him. In fact, the last time he went on when he was talking about water, I think that was an excellent chat that he had on Brass that Sunday some time ago. But I disagree with him. And then also Mr. Murray agreed with him. But I disagree with both of them. When he said that the message, the sending messages about social distancing, well, then you see the people, when he went home, he saw the people at the hospital and thing all gathered together. But that's not a message. And Mr. Murray should know this, because he's always taught about sociology. Mr. Murray should understand, he should know, that a culture don't change overnight, either which way. And I think that what this thing has turned, is showing up, is to see Barbados are really in discipline. Now, it has nothing to do with the government. It has nothing to do with the businesses. Because when you go into the businesses, like banks and credit unions and things, and they have the space, all space out, and you have to conform. Whereas the people outside is not observing, are not observing the social space distance. So that got nothing to do with the.
All right, let me ask you this question. Why is the business actually practicing social distancing on the inside? What is the objective?
The people wouldn't catch the virus.
Agreed.
On the inside, they could control the inside, you know.
Okay.
The inside is theirs.
All right, but if you are on the outside, mm-hmm. you are also on their premises.
But I'm saying that you really that is
what is the objective? The objective is to reduce the possibility of spreading the disease. Full stop.
Yes.
As long as you are on their premises, they are trying to help you avoid it.
So
they should therefore be concerned about that.
You can't help yourself.
Just hold on. Yes, you can. But if you realize that there is a pattern that is against our best interests, don't you think that you could help in that regard?
That does not make sense at all. Yes,
to put all of the precautions on the inside.
Listen.
And ignore, because by the time they get on the inside,
uh-huh.
they got it.
Yeah, but listen, right? But people also have to be responsible for themselves.
I agree.
For themselves.
I agree. But so what you are... But Statsman, let me say something to you. I began... And last week we were talking about this. And I said, everybody is responsible for themselves. We accept that. But you know, there are some things that you will see in places where people lose control of their senses. And when that happens, the state sometimes has to intervene. And in this instance, businesses can also play a greater role in trying to protect those people, because ultimately, the people who are running the businesses are also seeking to protect themselves and their own families.
I agree with that. But you realize that I can't speak for the behalf of the people that run the businesses. But I'm sure from the observation, from what's happening in the businesses, I can say an example now. Rather, they might have guards employed, period. But then by the COVID-19 now, the guards are operating the doors, meaning they're not really, so they're, like, even in the supermarket, whereas the guard will be patrolling through the supermarket, shoplifting, etc., they are stationed at the door. So you ought to also consider that. The business is doing what they're supposed to do and controlling their environment. The people in Barbados must be more disciplined
and control their
space.
I will encourage Barbadians to protect themselves and to take responsibility. But let me say to you that as long as these people are on the premises of these companies and government departments, it is counterproductive to look after the social distancing on the inside and ignore it completely on the outside.
Well, I'm not sure if they could control on the outside. Because if you...
But all that requires... Sometimes all this requires is a couple of signs on the outside to remind people. All right? Sometimes all it requires is one of the security guards to just draw it to people's attention. Because I accept that there are some people in the country, young and mature people, who are very, very own way, who behave as though nobody is to tell them anything. They're supposed to do as they like. All right? But I really believe that in the interest of all, more needs to be done in this regard. And where people are failing to comply, then a greater effort needs to be made. Quite honestly, if we don't do it, we are going to see a significant spike in our numbers. And the more people who have it, the greater the danger of people dying from it here. Okay, now we've been lucky so far. We haven't heard of any such thing yet. And we hope that doesn't happen. But if we all know what is the outcome if we do not practice the social distancing. Okay? Thank you very much. Now this person says, this is not working. They're saying that this approach that Barbados is adopting, the curfew at night and the essential services during the course of the day, they say it isn't working. They say that people are out in droves at the bank and supermarkets. As far as they're concerned, they're helping to spread the virus. And people are not staying home. And when you ask the people to space out, they are ignoring you and still bunching up. And if you put signs and tape on the ground, they're cussing you. Now, you know what's going to happen as a consequence of this. You tell me what your experience is. What are you seeing? Because quite a lot of people still on the streets. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, welcome.
Good morning, Mr. Ellis.
Hi, morning.
Yes, I'm calling you this morning with a very hard heart, please. I am begging for some help. This is the young gentleman who went to you, assigned back with the bonds.
With what? Bonds?
Yeah, then you take the picture off them. The Revolution Life. Problem?
Oh, the Resolution Life issue.
Okay, I'm calling.
I don't remember you as no young gentleman, though.
Oh, okay. You make me laugh, but my heart is very hard right now. So, I'm calling to find out if I could get any help at all where those bonds is concerned. I want to know if Mr. Strong, someone from Revolution Life, somewhere in Barbados could help me. I have some problems on my hand. I have a young daughter right now. Need some cash. I cannot help her with nothing. I would like some help, please. I guess.
But you went to Resolution Life like everybody else, and you would have been through that whole process where you got some money in cash, and
yeah,
then you got the rest in bonds.
No, I ain't getting no cash, Mr.
So you got all of yours in bonds. So how you expect to change that here?
I can't do nothing with them, and I would like some help, please. No, I'm not telling you no luck.
I don't know if you can sell the bonds.
I need some help.
I don't know if you can sell them.
Hello, please?
You may have to inquire whether you can sell the bonds.
But I doubt I want to know if there's anyone in Barbados that could buy them. Cause right now, I don't have nothing that's a backup on.
I can't.
I need some help.
Yeah,
I have a daughter. It's 17
I can't years help you with the sale of the bonds on Brass Tacks. But
I know, but I mean, if the word gets put out there, if Mr. Strong or some boy from Revolution League could call me and tell me what I could do for right now, because I don't have nothing to back up on.
Well, I will take your information off the air and save somebody.
I'm having $20,000 in bonds, Mr. Ellis, and nothing in your hands. $20,000?
Right.
That's very hard on me. I mean, I pay my policy for 25 years. Right? And I mean, I can't afford to do something with it, but I can't at least spend right now. And you stretch out. It's nothing to do right now, please.
All right. I could understand.
I need some help.
I could understand. All right. Down to Brass Tacks. Hello.
Pleasant. Good morning.
Good morning.
To Alice. How are you doing?
I'm well. And you?
Not too bad, thank you. I don't know if anyone had called and spoke about it before, but I would have happened to see a video a few minutes ago where the individuals are obviously in the quarantine center. I think it's totally ridiculous.
Wow.
I consider that to be privacy.
Yeah.
The person that would have taken the video obviously are one of the same persons being quarantined. But you cannot see that individual's face. What you are seeing is the others in their face. This is crazy.
I agree with you.
We are better than that. We are better than that. That is considered privacy. And if you are allowed to use your phone in there because you can make contact, say, with your children or your relatives, and you decide to do that, serious measures should be put in place to take away everybody's phones then. We are not thinking. We are just out there doing total nonsense.
I share your concern about that.
It's madness.
It was inappropriate.
And it's gone viral. Where all kind of people is doing this. So you know, if the person lives down the road, you can pass down there in your vehicle or walk down there. So, oh, she lived there. That family down there must have got it. This is crazy. Come on, people. We can do better than this. Why don't we listen to the authorities and do what is required of us to do? The banks having people waiting in lines, supermarket packed with people again. I believe it. I'm asking the Attorney General right now, reconsider, close some of the bakeries or close all, close the supermarkets. Some people will say, but you're talking nonsense. No, if we don't hear Mr. Ellis, we got to feel. They're saving us from our own self. We are making bad for each other. Other places on total lockdown. We are not on total lockdown. But yet we out there doing nonsense. We are not taking this thing serious. You know when we can begin to take it serious? When a couple die, unfortunately. We don't want that.
Not just a couple of people dying. When the facilities in Barbados get overwhelmed, the health facilities become overwhelmed. Because, you know, we are crisis-driven. And this is at the core of why some of us have differences of opinion with the people in this country who are, in our opinion, seeking to minimize the impact or the potential impact of this. I mean, you know, it is this attempt to say it does not matter as much as,
yes.
That it is not, that there's a comparison between this and the flu. Now tell me, when is the last time you heard about a flu epidemic in Italy killing that many people?
Some of them need to turn on the televisions on different channels and watch exactly what is going on in the wider world. If you're going on Facebook, you need to log on and see exactly what is going on. We are becoming a society of ignorance, and we need to stop it. And the sooner we stop it, the better it will be. I do not understand for the life of me why every 2 or 3 days you have to be back at the supermarket. This is what I would say to the parents that have children at home. When these children are at school, majority of them would have been given breakfast in the morning. The next time they may get is a snack, say, around 10:30. You can follow the same pattern. The next time they'll be given lunch around 12, and then something when they get home will be the last thing they're given. Follow the same procedure like when they're at school. You too, as an adult, if you were in someone's establishment working, you could not be eating fruit the entire day. If you follow the same protocol and procedure, you would have groceries in your home. I do understand that some people would have to go to the supermarket. That's understandable. But the supermarkets are not entirely closed. They are open during a duration of time. So why then 200 and 300 people got to be in a line waiting to go in the supermarket? Because we're ignorant. Pay attention. And to all of those young people out there who in those videos doing as they're pleased, if any of you all belong to me, you won't be coming back in my house. I would ask the authorities to put you in quarantine, not back at me, because you are putting yourself at risk and then you bring it into your home environment. I have no reason to leave the house, so I am not going to leave the house. I pay my bills online. If I have to go to the supermarket, I make a decision. My husband is a frontline worker. I would ask him to do that. Let us use our common sense and stop being ignorant, because that is all it is. That is all I can say, Mr. Ellis.
All right, ma'am. Thank you very much. You know, you have made quite an impassioned plea to the rest of Barbados, and I hope they listen to you. Welcome to Down to Brass Tacks. Hello.
Good morning, David.
Yes, good morning.
You know, I can't support that woman no better. I mean, I really in full support of everything she said. You can't want it no better than that.
But why do you think people are reacting the way that they are?
David, that's what I can tell you. Now, there's something I really want to speak to you as far as cautioning people on this particular program, but let me ask you. I think people just doing as they like. To put it in simple, based in terms of doing as they like, are refusing to heed the advice of the medical people as well as the government of this country. And I am calling on the Attorney General, since that he have the authority now, to close all supermarkets. Emphasizing on that, close all supermarkets in Barbados. Because every single one of them I see, the people are not taking precautions, they are not following the social, they're not following the social distancing at all, David. I see it up to this morning. And I'm saying the Attorney General need to put down his foot and go the other step, close supermarkets. If you want to protect me, Mr. Attorney General, I'm pleading with you, protect me and my family from getting this, from this thing escalating at a high level. I'm calling on you to close the supermarket to protect me. That's the advice or the message I want to send to the Attorney General of Barbados. And I hope he's listening.
Well, I want to say to you that I think that there's a lot at stake here. There is the economic dimension to this. There's the public health dimension. There is the political dimension to this. Since that lady spoke just now, you got one person here saying the caller's hysterical tone is not helpful. But then there's somebody else here who says she's correct. And they felt that it was appropriate to let her speak because what they are seeing out there, and there are a couple of others here, I think there are more people who are agreeing with her than are disagreeing with her, because they are going on the basis of what they are seeing out there in the community right now.
Exactly.
And the sentiment that is coming through is that the behavior of the people suggests that the measures are not strong enough. That's what's coming through right now.
You're going to protect me, David. You're going to protect me and my family. People out there ain't listening to the advice and need to understand what the means of social distancing. They just don't understand or they just think I call sense to understand what social distancing. And out there doing the same thing, seeing it all the time. As far when it comes to curing to go in any establishment all across this country. Now, my caution to you, David.
Okay, thank you. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Yeah, Mr. Ellis?
Yes, welcome.
Hello, Mr. Ellis?
Yes, sir.
Oh, I get you. Good afternoon. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm okay.
Good after hearing you so after waiting so long. I heard that lady, and I really sympathize with her. But when you say A or say B, I am confused, Mr. Ellis, about this social distance and about these protective measures that are being implemented. And I sympathize with the Honorable Mayor Motley, who I know is doing a wonderful job. I never continue to pray for her and pray for my government. But watch it now, Miss Ellis. You there?
Yeah.
My church shop. And we are talking about this whole system. I have a little problem with the church shop. Because the church, in my feeling, in my mind, I know other people, the church is where my motivation comes. The church is where my inspiration comes. Mm-hmm. The church is where my encouragement comes. And the church is shut. The church is where we get our rest through and where we get it. It is a place of comfort. It is a silent zone where we pray. And I personally feel the church shut, to me, it should be a no-no. Watch it. My ministers on television were not social distance apart. You were there?
Oh, it didn't look so to you because of the way that the cameras were positioned.
Okay, sir. Okay. If they were on speaking on a correction, just guide me through and let me talk.
Apparently they were.
Okay, sir. I'm saying, Mr. Ellis, watch it. My Pentecostal church, a membership probably of, say, 80, 90, it's just that probably across my church, I feel that the government can use some kind of discretion and put some kind of guideline of our church rather than shutting it. Because, watch it, if 25 people come to church this Sunday morning, I'm talking about 25, and a pastor, a man of God from the pulpit, preaching to us as usual, 25 of us come this Sunday morning. It's obvious that the other 25 can come this Sunday night. I don't expect that same 25 to come back the night. The ushers now will have a little more work to do, and that the ushers, who are 3 feet or 4 feet apart, because they are each side of the church door. You with me?
Yes, I'm listening to you.
The 25th comes this Sunday morning. It's always we as people who are living for God or who are giving God thanks for our life and we are Christians, we don't expect those things when to come back this Sunday night. The other 25 of our membership, or another 25 of our membership, can come this Sunday night rather than having the schools shut, rather than having church shut down. I feel that some kind of discretion can be used rather than closing church doors. Not as for me.
Let me ask you what you did this weekend. What you did yesterday? How did you deal with it?
I went to work, and apart from work, I was home with my family, coming to grips with the situation. We were praying and we were talking about it, and we eat and we drink as usual. But we give God thanks for life, and we were praying. We were praying for people, and of course, I have a good friend, my best friend now, who's in hospital. So we were conversating along that line. But what I'm saying now, as for me now, Mr. Ellis, if you listen to me carefully, within the hour, I am going to a location. And I thank God. I'm not telling you my occupation, because I know everybody knows my voice. Everybody meets me on the road. I hear on brass tacks. I hear this, I hear that. I am going to be dealing with 25 of men. 25 of men. There's no protective mechanism for me. I still have to be dealing with these people, 25 of them. But yet my church shut down on the outside. Talk to me, Mr. Ellis. So I said, a gentleman like me, I will have to ask why my church is shut down. Where is, you're there?
I'm listening to you. I'm trying to ask you a question, right. But I have to wait till you finish.
I get fast, I listen to you and my bar
no, 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 no. I wanted to ask you a question.
Okay, but I'm saying that
what is it that you
motivates me and inspires me to
what is it out. Specifically about church that motivates you and that what you is, would miss because...
Mr. Ellis,
yes.
you or probably Mr. Whittem do not agree with me, but my church is motivation. My church is the comfort zone. And you do not get it on the outside like you get it in church. Now, you see them four walls? They're giant.
Mm-hmm.
Because the church was specifically built for peace. It's a peace of mind. And the church is a different to the outside.
Yes.
And the church, it produces that kind of feeling that you don't get. That 2 hours, 2.5 hours, they are the most peaceful hours in my entire life daily.
Wow.
Those 2.5 hours at church on Sundays. It's a different feeling. Those of the people who oppose to me.
I am not here to oppose you, you know. I'm here to respect the fact.
It's all about that.
I'm saying to you
that the church
that I have to respect the fact that this is what you get from your experience, and therefore,
and so many others.
Right, and so many others, and therefore, for you yesterday, because you didn't have that, what did it do for you or against you yesterday? And how do you feel today?
How do you feel today?
Do you feel as though you missed something significant today?
You mean from my church?
From not going to church.
Yeah, I miss it. I miss something. I miss it. I miss the children, and I miss hearing God's word from church.
You miss the fellowship.
From my church. And seeing my congregation.
Hmm. But
conversing with my
but of course, you know that it is not... How were you going to control who was going to turn up, the numbers that would turn up? If you said that there was going to be church and you anticipated that some would come in the morning and some would come in the evening, unless that was properly controlled, then you would not be able to say with any precision how many people were coming in the morning and how many people were coming in the night.
But the extras go downstairs? If the church have two stories. Could the others go downstairs? You know, because no, I'm just talking brass tacks. I mean, I get put down your turn.
Well, I don't know how big your church is.
Okay.
Because everything depends upon the size of it, you know?
I'm just giving you links to read.
I saw a piece on social media this weekend where apparently the authorities in Antigua moved in on a church where the people were all walking up to the altar and or onto a platform and touching each other and that sort of thing, which, you know, that's completely contrary to what should be happening in the current environment. But for them, they considered that absolutely necessary. And that was part of what is their experience.
Well, you see, Mr. Ellis, the people who don't go to church or the people who don't care about church, they were at that kind of way. Unfortunate.
Which kind of way? Which kind of way?
Well, the authorities going in the church and being so harsh to Christian people.
Boy, you're dealing with a very complex issue here. It is your belief system, or the beliefs of those people clashing with the public health advice. And that at the end of the day, whatever you may think about your protection, there are others in the community who believe that your approach is making them vulnerable to catching a virus.
I just personally feel that you can leave the church alone.
Okay.
And let us keep on praying about this scenario.
All right, sir. Thank you very much.
Leave the church alone.
All right. Down to brass tacks. Hello.
Good morning, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, morning.
Hi. I wasn't going to make a comment, really. But I think I should, with regard to your last caller. You know, I think first and foremost, right? Church is a business. And for most churches, it would be seen as a loss of revenue. So listening to that caller and a few other people that I have talked to on this same matter, I think that is the most troubling thing for him.
I don't know on what basis you have come to that conclusion. There is nothing that caller said that was related to money. He spoke about what he misses in his own being.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't we respect that and move on?
What I am saying to you, right? Now, this might be the only person maybe you have spoken to, right? But that's why I mentioned.
I ain't dealing with that. I'm dealing with what he said. If you want to talk about people that you met, but you can't attribute that to his contribution. You could talk about what you heard from other people, but don't attribute that to him. He didn't say so.
But I'm not saying he said that. I said I believe so. That is what I think is one of the issues. Okay, but if they're asking the whole society to be disciplined, and be responsible enough to refrain from having these large gatherings and social distancing and so on, I think they have to fall in line as well. Okay? Now, in circumstances where a crisis, there's going to be a lot of, you'll get the best coming out of individuals, but also you get the worst. So that is just a part of life, right? I think I'm not going to come down too hard on Barbadians, because I think, to be quite honest with you, I think they're for the most of it, they're being compliant, especially where the curfew is concerned. But from my observations, I am beginning to wonder if people understand what is 3 feet, or if they understand distance. For those who don't understand 3 feet, when they stand up, stretch out their arms. When they stretch out their arms, if you're touching the person next to you, you're too close. You know. For people that are shorter, which their arms would be also shorter, they should be at least 2 arms length away from an individual. Let them use that as a barometer to. Because I don't understand. I mean, I myself was in a line, and every time I moved, the individual was moving up. I mean, I was so close to him. I had to turn at his side then and spread out my legs, the next time I moved. So then he was further away. So I think if they use that as a guideline to help them navigate the distance they should be away from an individual. If they stretch out their hand and they could touch the individual, that means they're too close. They need to be further away. Right?
Okay.
Now, another thing, I'm wondering if the... Well, I shouldn't say I'm wondering. I'm questioning now the advice of not wearing masks. On the outdoors, I really don't see a big issue. But once you're indoors, I think the safest thing would be to wear a mask, especially if the place is air conditioning. I think that's why a lot of people, when they come to the cruises and on boats and so on, so many people got sick too. Because you're in an isolated area and you got the AC and everything, you know, circulating and so on, you know how it works. And you only want one person that has the virus to sneeze or something or cough or something, and that could take everything through the air. So I think, and I believe, especially in if it's offices and even the supermarket, I think people should be wearing a mask indoors, where there's air conditioning and so on.
Well, the advice that has come from the World Health Organization on masks has to do with wearing them when you are the person coughing, rather than having everybody wear a mask. But, you know, it is up to the medical people to speak about that. I sincerely hope that, you know, the way that we can run brass tacks is this way. You know, we have been asking for members of the COVID team to join us from time to time, and they did do so yesterday, and I want to thank them for doing so. I thought that was a very excellent approach, where they were able to take the questions and give answers. Where possible, we'd run brass tacks between, let's say, 11 o'clock until about 1:15. And if it is possible to get somebody from the team, we would take questions and comments that perhaps they need to respond to. For instance, what we are getting here right now today is a concern about the behavior associated with the supermarkets in particular, the absence of enough social distancing. On the one hand, there are people who say, look, if this is the case, shut the supermarkets. Then on the other, I have people who are saying, look, you can't close the supermarkets because people need food. And part of the problem you have is that there are people who have such small amounts of money in their hands from time to time, they cannot buy in bulk. And these people find themselves back at the supermarket regularly because, you know, of the limited funds that they have at their disposal. So
I wouldn't agree with closing the supermarket.
Right, but yeah. If you're not going to close them, and I think many people would say, and the government itself would not necessarily see that as the first reaction, then what are you going to do about the failure to have social distancing? Because if you don't have that practice, it is likely that you are going to cause a greater spread of this virus in the country.
Now, hold on. Let me you reminded me of something. I was watching the program with the Attorney General and the medical officials and so on television. And something that stood out is that they were preaching social distancing, and they were almost shoulder to shoulder. Each of them could have stretched out their hand easily and hugged up the other person. And they were there preaching social distancing. I would like to see them further apart. Even when they come into your studio, I can't see them. But
well, I can assure you mm-hmm. that the way that our studio is set up, mm-hmm. there is ample opportunity in this studio for social distancing. that we as a policy have discouraged having panelists within the studio unless they can we can safely practice it. And that means if I'm sitting here and I have guests, I can only have two guests to practice social distancing here. What we have also implemented is a system where we used it yesterday, where all of the guests were on the telephone. They didn't have to come into the studio. So we are taking this seriously because our lives are also at stake.
Okay, well that's very good to hear because I remember having a conversation with you already, and I told you you can work from at home. Years ago, I remember that.
Well, I do a lot of work from at home, quite a lot. But yeah. the only thing that I would not necessarily be able to do from at home is read a newscast. To produce the kind of technical quality that we have right now, we need to look more at the software that is available to accommodate that, or do brass tacks. Again, bringing it with this technical quality. Now, I know that I've done an outside broadcast within brass tacks last December, where I took this piece of machinery and set it up in a house, and we were able to talk to the woman and her two daughters using that method, and you would not have noticed the difference in technical quality. That's possible, but there's one little hitch with that, is that you hear, because of the 20-second delay, you hear yourself coming back at you. And that's a little bit disconcerting. But I have no doubt that there are methods of doing it. I was drawing to the attention of the technical person the other day that I listened to the BBC, and this lady, one of the announcers there, she was in self-isolation in some part of the United Kingdom, but she was doing her show live from home. And the technical quality was great. So my mission is, let's find out what it is that we need to do to be there. You know, but most of us, I can tell you, right now, most of the staff here are operating remotely.
Well, that's very good to hear. Anyhow, you take care of yourself.
All right.
And be safe.
Thank you very much. Down to brass tacks. Hello. Welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, Mr. Ellis.
Good morning. It's 11:53.
Well, perhaps I'm hearing too much about Corona, COVID. Now, I am listening, Mr. Ellis. I believe that I don't like the concept of closing the supermarkets. I believe they can be controlled. And I believe they can be controlled. But you and I know that Barbadians have this thing about doing it their way in terms of trying to get through in life. Now, my feeling about this, as far as I'm concerned, that if you had two lines, a privileged line and an ordinary line, you would see it would work. Because some people in Barbados believe that they're more privileged than the others. So you'll be able to get your social distancing in that particular position. I also believe that the supermarkets should somewhere along the line have what they could consider to be an hour inside the supermarket, clean out and get in another set of people. Because this would help in the control at the door. It would also help with the situation of behavior, because eventually there's going to be a situation in this lining up outside of an establishment where somebody's not going to like somebody. Next thing you know, it's going to be a big commotion. Police is going to be called. Somebody going to be hauled over in Coral Street. So I don't think that should happen. What I'm also concerned about at this particular moment, and I think that everybody should be concerned about, is the fact that as far as in Bridgetown, I don't want to name the stores, but I just want you to picture the stores in Bridgetown that have entrance front, entrance back, three stories. How are you going to control those people coming in from the back? Or are you going to control those people from the front with three doors and on three floors? They also have a situation further down, which I'm not going to call the story, an escalator, where there's a side door, which opens to the street, and there are front doors. So So somewhere along the line, we've got to take this social distancing extremely serious. It shouldn't be for one group and not the other group. I read that they said that it was supposed to be for 25 people. Then eventually, 90 was established. Was it 90 or was it 100? But it was published that we'll accommodate 90 people. So I think that this whole thing of social gathering needs to be put in place and needs to let people understand that the law is the law and it should be carried out. And that is that if people go into the supermarket, they can't walk all around looking to see who got the virus or who got the virus or fill out the people's stuff. They're going to buy what they have to buy and have to be out by an hour. And the position within the hour, and within that case, that means that your supermarket would always have a steady flow of people in and a steady flow of people out, and nobody walk around big eyes to see who doing this and who doing that. Another point of interest, Mr. Ellis, is the fact that coming out of this COVID-19, a lot of people don't seem to understand that a lot of good is going to come out. Take, for example, the funerals. I heard you yesterday on this, right? The cost of a funeral now cannot be as expensive as it used to be. Because the family, after the burial, have to put on something which is known as a wake. So this is a reception. This is drinks and food.
They don't have to.
Well, they do it. They do it on a case.
Some people don't do it at all.
But they don't do it to everybody.
Some people don't do it at all.
Some people don't do it at all. I agree with you. They want the family to be restful. But when you look at the leaflets that are being printed again, the big set of leaflets don't have to be printed. But if you look at the cost of the funeral as being prepared today, there's got to be a drastic reduction. A drastic reduction in what I consider to be the preparation and the delivery of the body for the earth or the crematorium. But we have got a way that we want to be different. We got a way of Barbados State, for example, the same social distancing. People are upon the people. The reason why people are upon the people is because we're used to this. We don't understand how serious it is staying apart. If they got to stay apart, then they have reasons for staying apart. Then the proprietors of the establishment are responsible for instituting the regulation. That is said, if it's supposed to be 3 feet away, you're supposed to be 3 feet away. You just can't concentrate on the cashiers on the inside and not on the outside. I heard you mention something like that earlier, because the inside and outside is the same thing when done, same store. So personally, I believe that if it is 3 feet, outside should be at least service to represent the 3 feet, because if it don't stop, eventually somebody's going to touch some person, they're not going to like it, all type of behavior is going to take place, and got a big confrontation, next thing you know, police can be called for a situation, and they're going all over the world that Barbados fighting in front of the supermarket again.
All right, let's try to hear the different views on this, because as I said, the woman who spoke earlier has generated a lot of talk. Here is what I get from someone I know who says, what a bunch of self-serving nonsense. The woman clearly wants a platform to talk nonsense. Where is the evidence that apart from pockets of idiots, where are people flouting the regulations? I can't believe this program. It is being used to spread the hysteria. I just came from Cost You Less and the bank out there, I believe in Welch's they're talking about, and I'm seeing the rules enforced. If these callers were at home, where would they be seeing all the rules being broken from the comfort of their home? Or this call, I believe, from the comfort of her home. Now, let me also balance that by telling you that there are other people here who have said that they have gone to various points today in Bridgetown and in other areas, and they have seen the bunching, and they have expressed concern about the extent to which people are not observing social distancing. Now, let me also address this question of this program and what it is doing. I'm in no position to sit down here and speak with authority about what a person is seeing outside. So if you come and tell me that this is what you are seeing, I have to accept that for the time being. In the same way that I listened to the woman, I have to accept the person who wrote this is telling me that they went someplace and they didn't see this and they didn't see that. it is unreasonable to expect that we will be able to sit here and curb people's freedom of expression in that way without knowing exactly whether what they're saying is true or not true. Okay? We have to put some kind of faith and confidence in the people out there. And if somebody is putting a blatant untruth out here on the air, there are other Barbadians who are in a position to come and say it is not so. But you're really asking too much of a radio station and the call-in program to just shut down people just because you may not agree with their opinion. I don't believe in that, and I ain't doing that. This is Down to Brass Tacks.